Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Micah chapter 7. Micah chapter 7 this morning. Verses 6, 7, and 8. Micah chapter 7. Amen. Now this is a prophecy or a statement in the Spirit, in the Holy Ghost, that Micah made concerning the condition of Israel. And I'm telling you, there are times in the life of a nation, there are times in the life of an individual. You could use this for just about anything, where situations and circumstances look pretty bleak. But I want to preach about looking unto the Lord. Amen. Because He's our hope this morning. Micah 7 and verse 6, for the son dishonoreth the father, and the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. That's pretty bad. That's where Israel had found themselves. Therefore, everybody said, therefore, I'm going to look unto the Lord. I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Praise God. I want to talk about looking unto the Lord here this morning. Let's pray and let's ask for the help of the Lord today. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We ask you to anoint it to our hearts. We ask you to speak to us today. Give us anointing. Give us victory. Let the Word of God find its mark in our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. You know, there's something called hope. Everybody said hope. Hope. Hope is something that each and every one of us need to possess. As children of the Lord, apostolic, baptized in His name, filled with the Holy Ghost, we've got to develop a sense of hope in our lives and in our heart. And hope is something that keeps a person going when things look pretty bleak. And hope is also a motivator, and it keeps us in balance. Amen. Keeps us balanced in our life, in our walk with God. And hope is something that looks at setbacks with an eye onto the future. Hope is something that looks forward and it looks upward. Amen. And it helps us to see that even though right now, as the prophet said, when I sit in darkness, there's going to be a place where the Lord shall be the light unto my life. Amen. Did you know that the Lord is the one that is the answer for everything in our lives? He's the one that knows everything, and He can help us in every situation. And the prophet Micah here, along with many of the other prophets in the Old Testament, they spoke of times of trouble. And you really wouldn't want to be a prophet in the Old Testament because they were rejected, they were cast aside. There were just many, many calamities that they faced. And yet, in the middle of all of this, in the middle of Micah's life, Israel had sinned and fallen away from the Lord. And the Lord spoke of their calamities here. And there is something here that Jesus spoke of as well. And it not only is others that are around us, you look at the situation in our country, and folks, I'm telling you, we've got to draw near to God. We've got to draw near unto God. We have seen over the last few decades millions of unborn babies that have been aborted. We have now seen there's this hope that us Christians have for our country, but I'm telling you what, we are headed down a slope, a slippery slope of sin, and where now a child can be aborted moments before birth, and now the leaders in one particular state, I believe it's Virginia, cheerfully said that now once a child is born, the doctor and the mother can consult together, and if they decide not to have this born child, they can kill that child right there on the spot. I'm telling you, if that does not bother you, there's something wrong in your spirit. Amen. And you're aligning yourself with the forces of this world. Amen. Jesus talked about the calamity that's associated with living for God. And it's almost a mirror of Micah chapter 7. It's found in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. And he said this, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. Amen. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me." Amen. And so, by the very nature of living for God, and when you give your life to God, there is a ministry of the Spirit to us. And one of them is that He will reprove the world of sin. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost that we have inside of us, will begin to speak to you about things in your life that are not right. Will begin to convict you and stir your heart, like Lot, whose spirit was vexed day by day by the ungodliness that was around him. But sometimes it gets mighty personal, and it comes down to your children, and it comes down to your wife or your husband, and it comes down to your father or your mother, and you have to make a choice who you're going to serve. Amen. There comes a time in some people's lives. Thank God it's not always that way, but I've experienced that myself, that before I gave my life to God, there was love and acceptance. After I gave my life to the Lord, of course, my parents were not, they were not alive. They had passed away, but the others, cousins and uncles and aunts and all of my family, every one of them, I can say now that I feel like there is a certain respect from my family, but at the time there was a shunning, there was a turning away, amen, there was that kind of a situation that had developed in my life. I've seen it with other people, amen. I've seen it in life where you give your life to God, there has to be a separation that takes place. He said, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And so there comes a time in everyone's life where we have to make a decision who we're going to live our life for. Praise God. Who are you going to live your life for this morning? Are you going to live your life for yourself? Are you going to live your life for your family? Are you going to live your life for the things that you want to accomplish? Or are you going to serve God? Amen. I'm telling you this morning, God has the best plan for your life. Well, praise God. He really does. He's got the best plan for you young men and young ladies that are here this morning. God has the best plan for your life. And if you will give your life to God, everything will come together. Amen. The focus of your life will come together because as a young person, mom and dad are living for God, but you've got to make your choice at some point in time what you're going to do with your life and who you're going to serve. Somebody said amen. Amen. I have seen it where there are those that would align themselves with Adam and knowing that it was wrong, followed their wife. Amen. I have seen it where a wife, instead of having trouble and problems, I'm going to follow my wife. I'm going to follow my husband. I'm going to follow mom and dad. But I'm telling you this morning, there comes a time when you look at life and you say, in every situation of life, I will look unto the Lord. I'm going to look to the Lord. He's the one and the only one that can help me. And if we're going to live for God successfully, one thing you've got to understand and know is that there will be setbacks at times in your life. There will be situations that will arise that you don't know what's going on. You're going to be sitting in darkness, as Micah said. And times when you fall, praise God. He said, when I fall, not if I fall, but when I fall. And he said, when I sit in darkness, not if, but when. Everybody, all you young people that are here this morning, you're going to find yourself at some point in life sitting in darkness and not being able to see what's going on, not being able to comprehend or understand what is happening in your life. Everything will seem to crumble around you. We are seeing the crumbling of America around us. We are. And there are times within the body of the church that it seems like things will be crumbling around us. But we cannot allow this morning emotions to control our lives. Amen. There has to be something more solid than what we are going through at the present moment. Amen. We've got to come to the reality of what's going on in my life. Amen. The Lord is in my life. Praise God. The Lord is on my side. And no matter what happens, the Lord is going to lift me up. That's what Micah said. Amen. He's going to lift me up. Do you believe God can lift you up today in your troubles? It's easy to say amen when you're not having troubles. It's easy to say amen when everything's going all right and we're having revival. But I'm telling you what, it's a different situation when you are sitting in darkness and there are troubles. Your country that you love so much is going downhill. And honestly, this morning, I can give you my honest opinion this morning, and I'm not trying to be negative or trying to scare anybody, but I don't see America turning around. I don't. And the reason I don't see it turning around is because we are getting further and further away from giving to others, and we are getting closer to it's all about me. Amen. It's all about what's happening in my life. I'm not going to give my life to anything but myself. Amen. I'm not going to serve anything but myself. I'm only going to do what I want to do, and it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Amen. And I'm afraid for America this morning. I really am. I'm afraid for America. And the church, by and large, is not connected with what is going on in our world. Amen. We are so blessed today. We're blessed by living for God. You feel blessed this morning? Amen. I'm doing a whole lot better than I was when I first gave my life to God. The other morning I was up by myself and getting a few things together for the day, and it just came over me. I looked around in my home and I just told the Lord. I said, "Lord, you've blessed me so much, and I'm very thankful for your blessings." And the Holy Ghost came in there. I felt God come and touch me that morning. Amen. And it's because I really feel that way. I am so much better off than I was financially. I'm so much better off materially. But even more than that, I'm so much better off spiritually than I was before I gave my life to God. And most of you here this morning are in the very same situation. We ought not to have somebody cheerlead us in worship. We ought not to have somebody cheerlead us in living for God. There comes a time in your life where you come to the place where you say, "I will look unto the Lord." Amen. Amen. And in every instance in the Old Testament, from Abraham actually to the New Testament apostles and the New Testament church, the heroes of faith that we call them, every one of them suffered situations in their lives. They suffered defeats. They suffered, well, it was seemingly defeats. The Bible talks about it in Hebrews chapter 11, and you don't have to turn there, but it talks about the others. Amen. It talks about those who subdued kingdoms, who wrought righteousness, and their dead were raised back to life, and all of those things. But then it says, and the others who were destitute and naked and poor, the others that didn't see their results in this life. I'm telling you, you got to get it all in the right perspective. Amen. You can't look around and see somebody else that's blessed, and because you're not blessed like them, feel bad about yourself. Amen. Or feel bad about your relationship with the Lord. Amen. Our hope is not in this life. I said it's not in this life. Our hope is in the world to come. Praise God. And two things that come out in the scripture that we read this morning in Micah, two things that he said that jumped out at me, things that we need to do. And he said, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord." That's what I'm preaching about here this morning. And then he says, "I will wait for the God of my salvation." Amen. And so we need to look. Everybody said, "Look." Look, and we need to wait. Everybody said, "Wait." Wait. That's patience right there. Amen. I'm not going to get discouraged if it doesn't happen overnight. I'm not going to worry about anybody else's blessings. Amen. I'm just going to look at my relationship with the Lord myself personally. Praise God. That's what's most important, is your personal walk with God and your love for God. Amen. Because looking and waiting are born out of trust and confidence. And also, it's born out of hope. Amen. You can look for the Lord, you can wait for the Lord out of trust and confidence, but those things, trust and confidence, are today. Amen. Those are attitudes that are for today. But when we look to the future, amen, with confidence, and we look to the future, we have to have hope. Amen. The Bible says hope that is seen is not hope. That means it hasn't happened yet. That means it's not here yet. That means that I have not received this particular promise yet. I have not seen the answer to my prayer yet, but I have hope. Amen. I'm looking to the future. And if we don't deal with the future before it comes, amen, we're going to miss out. We've got to be able to look to the future and see what is really going on. Amen. And too often we jump before we see the Lord in it. Well, praise God. You've done it. I've done it. Amen. And we step out of the will of God because we want an answer right now. But hear me this morning. Some answers don't come that quickly. Praise God. Some answers don't come quickly. And sometimes before the answer comes, there will be setbacks. And it will look as though I'm going down. I've been in a number of situations in my walk with God where I thought I was going down. Amen. And the devil told me I was going down. And people around me were criticizing me. I'm going to deal with that a little bit here this morning. Because I'm telling you, you're going to find yourself in that place. But you've got to have hope in God. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I will look unto the Lord. But not just look to Him, I'm going to wait on Him. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up on wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Amen. Folks, we cannot faint. Well, praise God. We cannot faint in our mind. We cannot be weary in our mind. I saw that scripture here just the other day. I cannot be weary in my mind or faint. That word faint there means to almost pass out or to fall out by exhaustion. It's not a physical thing that we're involved in here this morning. It is a spiritual thing that we're involved in. And where the battleground actually is won or lost, it's right between your ears. It's how you look at things. It's how you think about things. It's what you perceive as reality and not what you perceive by your emotional person. Psalm chapter 123, David talked about this. And he said, "Behold, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their master." Amen. Micah said, "I will look unto the Lord." Well, here's how we need to look. And it'll give us a goal to shoot for. As the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God until, everybody said until. We're going to wait on God. We're going to look unto the Lord. Until He have mercy on us. That simply means that God just doesn't do it all the time. When you pray, you get up off of your knees, and the answer shows up. Amen. It doesn't happen that way all the time. And many, many times it doesn't happen that way because we have to exercise hope. We have to exercise patience. We have to exercise trust and confidence. And there's no way to exercise faith until you're in a situation like that. There's no way to exercise the good qualities of living for God until we are faced with opposite situations. Amen. And it is at that point in time that we exercise those good qualities of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. And here he says, as the eyes of the servant look unto the hand of their masters. That really is borne out, that analogy or that parable there is borne out by the way things happen in the king's court. Amen. And they could be having a dinner or a banquet, and they watch. The servants are behind the curtain. They're in a back room where they can look and see what's going on, and they watch for the hand of the master. The hand of the master may, they have their own code, but if the master puts his hand up and goes like that once with his finger, that means I need another Diet Coke. Amen. Come on, somebody, help me this morning. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a Diet Coke appears. Well, how did that happen? Somebody was watching the hand of the master. Amen. Watching the master's, the king's hand. And maybe two times with his finger, that means our guest needs some more to eat, or they need something, they need assistance in a certain way. And the servants are behind the curtain, and the real show is what's going on here in the king's throne. Praise God. And we're here to assist, and we're here to follow. You know, the Bible says that he guides us with his eye. Not only is it the movement of the hand or whatever the signal was with the hand, there were the eyes of the king. And probably they had a situation where the king would look over and blink his eyes one time. And all of a sudden, it appears the situation is taken care of. Amen. Somebody in the back room, there's a group of them in the back room, and one of them is a lookout, and all he's looking at is the hand. All he's looking at is the eye. Amen. He guides us with his eye. You know, you can guide your children. Amen. I've said this many times. You can guide them with a belt. Amen. And teach them that way. Or you can guide them with your eye. Amen. I've got a particular ability this morning, and I think my grandson's going to have it too, only he's got it in the other eye, where I can raise my eyebrow and go like that. And there were times in the past where my children were acting up in church, and they're just having a good old time acting up in church and not paying attention to anything. And I saw what was going on, and I just stood there on the platform while the service is going on, just go like that. And all of a sudden, our eyes connected, and there was a look on their face like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. I didn't say you were in trouble. I didn't, you know, go down and whatever. God help us here this morning. We need to look at the eye of the Lord. Praise God. He guides us that way. And we can have confidence. Amen. And like Micah here, that confidence can give you the ability to make bold statements about your future. Micah said, "My God will hear me." Praise the Lord. I don't know if that's an encouragement to you this morning, but it's an encouragement to me. My God will hear me. Praise the Lord. Not only does he hear me, he sees me. He knows exactly where I'm at. And that is not a arrogant statement on the side of the prophet here, but it was a statement of trust. Amen. It was a statement of confidence. Amen. My God will hear me. I got a little note there to say, what are we really looking for? What are we looking for? What are you looking for out of life? What is it that you are here for this morning? What is the purpose that you come to the house of God? Amen. What we need to understand is God will hear us. Amen. When we cry. And it's not pride, but it's faith. Amen. Faith speaks to the enemy and it says, I'm going to defeat you. Even though I fall, I shall arise. I'm coming up out of the dust, Job said. And even though the skin worms devour my flesh, in my flesh I shall see God. And I'm going to see him by myself. I'm going to look at his face, and I'm going to hear him say, well done. Praise God. Sitting in the ashes, scraping your body with pieces of pottery, broken pottery. Dogs may be coming to lick your sores like Lazarus. Amen. It's not what it looks like right now. It's not what's going on right now that is the big deal. Amen. But it's where the hand of the master is pointing. It's where his eye is looking. It's what he desires that is so very, very important. And what Micah, I believe, had come to here was the excitement of knowing God knows where I'm at. The Lord knows where I'm at. The Lord knows what I'm going through. The Lord knows the situation in my life, and He is able, and not just able, my God is willing. He's going to hear me. You know what that means? He's listening. That means He's in tune with what's going on. Amen. Too often we don't pray when troubles come. We just start thinking about how we're going to figure it out on our own. But prayer is very important. Did you hear that this morning? Prayer is very important because we have not because we ask not. And we receive not because we ask out of the will of God. Amen. And I believe this morning that we are winners in this battle. More than conquerors through Him that loved us. Amen. Our downtime, if you please, is not permanent. It's just temporary. Amen. My victory has not been diminished through my trials. My victory has not been diminished by any setbacks in my life. And listen, whatever you do in life, you're going to have troubles come and you're going to have setbacks. I don't want to be depressing here this morning. Amen, because I'm really focusing on the answer to our difficulties. Amen. I can therefore rejoice in confidence. I can therefore have faith in my Creator. You know, if He created us, and He did, if He did that, don't you think He can fix our problems in life? I'm telling you this morning, my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And Micah said, when I fall. Everybody said, when. Not if, but when. When I fall. This is not someone that's not decided to live for God. This is a man who is considered and was a prophet. Amen. He was a prophet. And I look at some of the statements of these prophets, and it gives me understanding this morning that they are just like I am. They go through situations just like I go through situations. They have troubles just like you have troubles. Amen. And there are times when they fall. That doesn't mean they go into willful sin and say, I'm not serving God anymore. That's not what it's all about. But sometimes it's like the wave of the sea, and it just overwhelms you, and it covers you. Amen. All of thy billows and thy waves have come over me. Amen. I'm in complete distress. I don't know what to do. I don't know what the outcome is going to be. Praise God. But as I sit in darkness, the Lord is going to be a light unto me. And you can get me to fall, flesh, and you can get me to fall, devil, but just wait just a little bit, and I shall arise again. I'm going to wiggle myself out of the dirt. Amen. I'm going to get in my mind, I'm coming out of this. Praise God. Maybe you're dealing with sickness this morning, a sickness that is, not going away, something that is with you, and the doctors say there's no hope for you. Hey, I'm telling you what, there are times that we fall. There are times that troubles come. But we can't get discouraged. Amen. And you can never, ever get to the place. Oh, I know people do, but it's because they don't have trust and hope. Amen. It's because they don't know what to do. Amen. I don't know what to do. And the counselors say, we don't know what to tell you to do. And you're looking at yourself in the mirror, and you're saying, there's just no hope. There's just no hope. You look at yourself in the mirror, and all you can see is your failures. You know what? We're our biggest critic. We are our own biggest critics. Come on, somebody. I'm my own biggest critic. And I've looked in the mirror before and said, can God ever be able to use you and not feel good about myself? Maybe you feel good about yourself this morning. Maybe when you look in the mirror, you really, really like what you see. But I'm telling you what, there's going to come a time when you look in the mirror and say, is there any hope for me? I'm telling you this morning, God looks at it a wholly different way. Amen. We need not to, we need not to look in the bathroom mirror, but we need to look in the mirror of the Word of God. I will look unto the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. I get a lot of hope and faith and trust in the life of David the king. He was a warrior of warriors. That man could go into battle. He was like a John Deere combine. And behind him, they would just have people coming to spoil. He was a fighter. This man had physical strength. He had wisdom in his heart. He had so much going for him. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south. And Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. Amen. Well, some people, you know, they're insensitive to other people's troubles, and they say, well, you just need to pray. All right. Be ye warmed and filled. Amen. Everything's going to be all right. And they don't really understand what you're actually going through. There are some trials in life that are majorly extreme. There are things that can come along that will cause great distress in your life. Here's the mighty warrior. Here's all of the men that are with him. And all of a sudden they come back, and the city that they loved, the thing that they had established, was now burnt down with fire. And the women and the children and everything was carried away. And David and his men, the next verse says, they came to the city. Behold, it was burned with fire. Their wives, their sons, their daughters were taken captive. Sounds almost like the book of Job, doesn't it? In one day, all of the family is gone. This gets really personal sometimes. Your troubles are going to get real personal sometimes. But I'm telling you what, we got to look unto the Lord. My family's gone. My children are gone. Everything is gone. I'm here all alone. I'm starting over in my life. What are we going to do? Well, I'll tell you what the mighty warrior did. This man with bulging biceps, this man that was able to run through a troop and leap over a wall. The Bible says, then David and the people that were with him, his mighty men that were with him, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Amen. They sat down and they were in so much distress that they started crying. And they wept. It wasn't just a little bit of a cry. They wept. Oh, this is horrible. I could not have made this up. Amen. And it's over. The place is burned down. My family is gone. They cried until there was no more power to weep. Have you ever been there? You ever been there? I've been there. And weep until no more tears come out. And you're just tired from weeping. But when you're done weeping, you know, the situation's still the same. It hasn't changed a bit. Oh, I know what it feels like to have somebody come into the room where you're at and to say, I need to tell you something, your dad just passed away. I know what it's like to drive up to the house and my brother come running out of the house and say, don't come in the house, don't come in the house, I think mom just died. And the ambulance came and the lady that was there came out. We were outside, totally distressed and upset. Your mother has passed away. She has died. I know what it feels like to have death. Some of you know what it feels like to have death. Death is a final situation. Death is something that brings distress, great distress in your life, because that which you looked up to for security, that which you esteemed as part of your structure and your foundation of your life, the foundation of your joy, all of a sudden now it's gone. In a moment's time, it's gone, and there's no way to recoup that. And David and his men, you know what? It's all right to cry. It's all right to weep until there's no more power to weep. And David's two sons, two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. All right. So now he's lost everything, but now it looks like he's lost all of the people that are with him. Now his comrades, his friends, the ones that he fought in battle with, the ones that saved him from a sword in his back, they got him before they got David. Those ones that David had fought for and fought with, now all of a sudden there was a murmuring that rose up within the camp of David. And some said, well, if we weren't following David, we would have been here and we would have been able to recoup this. Hey, let me tell you something. There are times when leadership fails, but there are times when things happen because the devil is out like a roaring lion. And they jumped to conclusions and they said, they said, I don't know if we want him as our leader anymore. And somebody said, I'm so angry, I'm so upset at this, if I could kill him, I would kill him. And another one said, you know what, I feel the same way. Why don't we just stone him to death? Why don't we just capture him and put him in the middle of a circle, and we can get stones and we can kill our leader? That's how much of a distress he was in. Not only did he lose his whole family, his sons and his daughters and his wife, he lost all of that. But now everybody else was pointing fingers at him. It wasn't David's fault that they came and burned Ziklag. It wasn't his fault at all, but there he was in that situation. I hope you're following with me here this morning. What we've got to understand is when we look in the mirror, it does not reflect the reality of our situations many times. We need to look in the mirror of the Word of God. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his son and his daughters. What are you going to do, David? What are you going to do? What is going to come out of your mouth? What is the next action that you're going to take? Amen. Praise the Lord. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself. Sometimes nobody's going to be around to encourage you. You got to encourage yourself. Anybody here this morning? You got to encourage yourself. You've got to look in the mirror of the Word of God. Got to go back and get yourself centered again. Go back to the treasure chest of your heart. Open it up and begin to look at the things, amen, the things that God has done for you in the past. Bishop Johnson, who's going to be here to preach, and maybe he will have the opportunity or feel the need to preach the message that we heard down in Texas that he preached. And he talked about fear's voice or fear's statement. I forget exactly how he said it, but fear's statement and my response. Amen. My answer to fear. And he confided in me and told me some things that were happening in his life. And it grieved me. It really did. One of his children, the situation that's happening, and I'm not even going to go into any kind of detail about it, but he talked about the fear and he talked about the distress that him and his wife went through because of a particular situation. But he finally came to the place where he began to look back and look back at all the times that he found himself in a bad situation, and through prayer and hope and trust and confidence, God's love toward him, he said, you know, I was afraid that I was going to go down and I was going to lose everything. But he said, I woke myself up, and this is not his exact words, but he shook himself and said, you know what? I'm still here. I'm still here. Everything's all right. I'm still here. I have not been destroyed. It hasn't killed me. I'm not lost, but I've got God in my life. You know what we need to do every now and then? Praise the Lord. We need to open up the treasure chest of our heart. And we need to see the things that we put in there that said, God did this. I'm going to put that in my treasure chest. God was here. God was here. God was here. Why on earth is the Lord going to change now? He's not going to change now. He still loves his people. Somebody said, praise the Lord. He still loves you. Amen. He still cares about your future. And when I looked at this story of David, I thought, you know, things happen here. Things happened here because of people. People who are not following the Lord. Amen. And, you know, David experienced in his emotional side great pain, and it caused him to weep. He experienced anger towards the enemy. All of these emotions were normal for this man. They're normal for you and I. But it's not right and it's not good to give yourself to your emotions from now on. That's what we call bitterness. That's where we look at it and call it backsliding, where we slide backwards and we stop trusting because of our emotional situation. I've talked to backsliders, and they can get pretty emotional. I don't want to be ruled by my emotions. I want to be ruled by the Spirit of the Lord. Somebody said amen. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. He experienced rejection by his own men. They talked of stoning him. And I would just ask you this morning, what would you do in this situation? How would you respond? What would be your answer to the situation? David could have said, well, you guys can get me. You guys can stone me. But I'll get a few of you before you get it done. Kind of like the old Sacketts. Amen. One of the Sacketts was approached by several men and they said, we're going to kill you. And he said, you know what? You got the draw on me and you'll be able to kill me. But he said, I think I can get one or two of you before you go. Which one wants to go first? And he backed down the whole group of them. Amen. I like that kind of a spirit right there. I'm not going to fall down on the ground crying and complaining and all of that and let the enemy destroy me with a bitter spirit. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and try it, devil. But I'm telling you what, I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord. And I'm going to have victory over this. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And this ultimately is the place where you and I are going to find ourselves at some point in your life. Amen. Setbacks are not the time to abandon God, but to draw closer to God. Not only draw closer to God, but to seek counsels concerning your situation. David didn't even have the opportunity to do that, but he knew his God and he loved his God, and he knew that God loved him. Can we stand together this morning? Praise the Lord. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. When we first moved to Augusta, I had just had two heart attacks, was not able to work for 6 months. And I thought, I've got to find a doctor. I don't know any doctors in the area. I went to a doctor one time and only once, told him of my situation and asked him, you know, if he would be my doctor. And he looked at me. I'd only been here just a few days. He looked at me and he said, Greg, he said, I hate to tell you this, but he says, there's no cure for what you have. And he said, within 10 years, you're going to be dead. I mean, he said it just like that. I told my heart doctor that, and he said, what? I said, yes, sir, he said that. He just kind of shook his head. But here I was in a town where I didn't know anybody, sick, not able to work, not able to provide for my family. My wife working at Builder Square, that's like a Lowe's, stocking shelves for $4.50 an hour. Didn't know didn't know anything. And here a man says, in 10 years you're going to be dead. Well, I think I heard somewhere that he passed away. And I'm not happy about that. But he's gone and I'm still here 25 years later. Praise God. You know what? The voices of this world are not necessarily true. It doesn't necessarily mean that that's what it is. Praise God. There's trials. There's struggles. There's situations that will come against each and every one of us. But what we've got to do is look unto the Lord. I don't think I'm getting through here this morning. But I'll tell you what, if you don't learn to look unto the Lord, you're going to look inward to your emotions. You're going to look inward to your situation, and you're not going to make it through. Amen. But I want to look unto the Lord. Can we just do that right now? Can we do that right now? God, I'm encouraging myself in you today. My hope is in God. My trust and my confidence is in the Lord that made heaven and earth. You can do anything. You can do anything. When you speak the word, it's over. It's a done deal when you speak the word. That's where my trust is. That's where my confidence is. It's in the Lord. It's in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.